Hi, I'm Josh, and this is a segment that we're calling Voices from the Field. The truth is that there's many pastors and leaders who are seasoned within the ministry and have great ideas and are doing amazing things to build strong, healthy churches and ministries, but we don't often hear their voices. We don't often hear their stories, and so this is about sitting down with those leaders and hearing their heart, hearing their stories, their experiences, their failures, and most importantly, what God is doing through them to use them to build health in His church. This week, I got to sit down and talk with two fantastic pastors who combined have several decades worth of experience in building healthy volunteer cultures. Later on this week, you'll hear from the second pastor, but today, the pastor that we're hearing from started off in youth ministry and then slowly transitioned to young adult ministry. And what he's done with that ministry and what God's allowed him to do just speaks volumes, and a lot of it comes from this volunteer base that he has raised up and empowered and saved from burnout and instead is equipping them. His story proves you don't have to wait decades to build something that lasts with your volunteers. Let's dive in and listen to this interview. All right, so I'm here with Josh, and you're based out of, did you say North Carolina?
Charlotte, North Carolina, yep.
Charlotte, North Carolina, and you've been working with young adults and also have experience with a lot of next gen. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself. So go for it. Welcome, Josh.
Yeah, man, appreciate it. Honored to hop on here, have this moment to talk. So like I said, my name is Josh. I'm 25 years old. I'll be 26 later down the road in November. Church kid. So I've been going to the same church for 25 years, but now the young adult pastor at my church, and young adult being 18 to 25 years old. I've been doing ministry with young adults since 2022. It's about the past 3.5 years now. Liberty University Bible Study Certificate. Let's see, what's something? Got ordained as an official pastor February last year.
Congrats.
Dude, everything happened last year. Got ordained, married, bought a house. So everything they say don't do all at the same time, me and my wife did. We just had our first baby this past week. So we celebrate our one-year anniversary, my wife's birthday, and our baby's birthday all in the same 3 days.
Oh my goodness. That is going to be a packed time. But that's awesome. It's a great celebration.
Yeah, man. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. And then to do that and also to do ministry, to do young adults, man, it's an exciting thing.
Awesome. Well, we're you reached out to me, I reached out to you, and the topic that we're kind of talking about is the idea of healthy volunteer cultures. And too many churches kind of treat it like a revolving door. Like, you know, you get 20 volunteers and that's awesome, but then half of them are burnt out, half of them don't know what they're doing. And so the topic has kind of been, what does a healthy volunteer culture look like? And it sounds like you have a really great volunteer culture as well as like a passion for ministry. So let's just start off. What does a healthy volunteer culture look like or mean to you?
Yeah, for me, what I see is that the volunteers are bought into the mission and vision. Like if they are championing it stronger than I am, man, that's a win. Like that's the culture, man. The standard of excellence that I want to set, like, hey, we got to make sure the reason why we're doing what we're doing, the why behind the what's, if it's vacuuming or stacking chairs or setting up a place or giving a high five and greeting somebody, we're all doing it with excellence because there's a reason why behind it all. But now if I can get you guys, meaning our volunteers, to champion the mission and vision and believe in it even more than I do, man, that's the culture we want towards the standard of excellence across the board with what we do and why we do it. But then for you guys to see the vision, see the mission, and then to champion it to where I don't have to, quote, micromanage. Like, hey, did you text this person? Did you reach out? But you guys are already doing it and you're asking for more. Like, hey, I reached out to this person. Who else can I follow up with? Or, hey, I got this idea for an event. What's the budget? Let's go. Let's do the thing. that's what I love to see, the healthy culture start to come to life when they are championing the mission and vision. And the fruit of that is that they're doing things way better than I can, which is awesome. Like to see the fruit, like our cafe team, for example, with our young adults, I was in charge of providing the cafe, the snacks. We meet on Monday nights at 6:30. They're coming off of work. They're probably hungry. And for me, it was, I'm going to go to Walmart.
Always.
You know, the bulk pack of 42 chips. I'm going to buy the bulk pack of 42 chips and a 2 liter bottle of Dr. Pepper. And there's our snacks. And the moment I handed that off to our cafe team, they're all gifted. They go to like baking school and culinary school. And they are each week, they're using their gifts to serve the people. And now I walk in and I was like, man, you guys are doing a way better job at loving these people through the avenue of snacks more than I ever would.
That's amazing.
Community with young adults. So that's just one small example. To see them do things better than I can when they're bought into the mission and vision.
I love that. That's an awesome just thing to see. Many years ago, I had a young adult come in and he wanted to be part of the team. And it was, you know, he had been coming to the church for a bit and I was like, okay. And he's like, well, can we do like an interview? And I was like, yeah, sure. And he started interviewing me. And for me, it was like, I always use him as a bragging story because I was like, that shows me your level of passion is he wanted to make sure I lined up like biblically. He wanted to know what we do for outreach. We do because he was passionate about it, but he wanted to make sure he was getting plugged into the right area. So I love it when you have a leader that has as much, sometimes if not more passion for the ministry that you're doing than yourself. So kind of along that same line, do you have like a story that sticks out to you about maybe your team or a specific person on your team that you work with that you're like, this is just to kind of highlight this leader, this is what health looks like?
Yeah, man, I can go in two different routes here. So one big vision of our young adult ministry is the community piece, like always telling our young adults that are in it, the congregants, hey, we want you guys to find community here. And then on the volunteer and the leader end, encouraging them to lead out and help people find community. So one of our guys on our connection team, man, this dude is a stud, man. He's only 20 years old, or 20 or 21, young guy, single, and he's down for everything. He'll jump on a plane and go to Mount Everest tomorrow, just down for it all. So a new guy walks in on a Monday night to our young adult ministry. His name's Kai Storms. Great dude. Get on our connections team, gets connected with him. Hey, my name's Kai. What's your name? Michael. Okay, great to meet you. Da 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 da. Then they start talking. And then Kai's like, hey, have you ever been camping before? Michael's like, nope. He said, okay, sure enough. So Kai and Michael go to Walmart that Monday night and then go camping the following weekend. So it was just this kind of creative way of like, all right, Kai, you love the mission and vision of you getting people bought into community, but then to watch that play out, to take this dude to Walmart the night after, and then this weekend you guys went camping, like that's so cool. That's so cool. And to see
that's amazing. Yeah,
like it's so creative. Another example is that we pitched this, going back to pitching the vision of going to our volunteers and say, hey, we want to have a great first time guest follow up strategy, but we also want to have a great 100th time guest discipleship shepherding. Yeah. So we kind of pitched this vision of I want all of our volunteers to meet up with at least 2 people a month for coffee, and we'll give you like a digital Starbucks gift card. You can pay for their Starbucks, do the thing. So I'm telling everybody, hey, this is what we're going to do. This is the 2 questions you'll ask them. Hey, how's life going? And how can I pray for you? And then just point them to the next thing. So some equipping there. How's life going? How can I pray for you? And I'm going to point you to the next thing, whether if it's an event, a gathering, whatever it may be. So to get all of our volunteers to do that with 2 people a month. So this one guy, he comes up to me. He's like, Josh, man, I'm down for it. But how do I do that? Like, how do I just go up to somebody and say, hey, will you grab coffee with me this week? Because his heart was like, dude, I'm in. I want to. I'm bought in. And then just kind of walking with him through that moment of, all right, man, here's some sentences you can say to not make it awkward. And him be like, okay, cool. And then go and do it. Those are cool moments and cool things.
That's awesome. That's also so many times we focus on the front end of it. And then, you know, like you said, that 100th visit is just as important. And so we put all that effort to get people in the door and make them feel loved and accepted. But like, are we continuing that process or do we just kind of end it with those people on front? That's an awesome point of view there. So kind of along with that, you speak on encouraging and then kind of how you're walking them through it. Can you kind of walk me through a basics of like how you train, encourage, and retain your volunteer teams?
Yeah. So we started off, and this is trial by fire learning to do this, is that we did not have any clear on-ramps, off-ramps, or any type of leadership structure behind the scenes. Just anybody who's going to show up 30 minutes early and want to volunteer, boom. You're leading a group, you're leading a small group, just kind of building a plane as we fly it, if you will. But now some of the things we learned, which has made life a lot more fruitful, is what we do is we have very clear on ramps to where if somebody were to raise their hand and say, hey, I want to serve, or I want to lead, or I want to volunteer, regardless of what it is, if it's prayer, worship, greeting, connections, AVL, tech, social media, you name it, it's all pointing to the same on ramp. So we do a once a month volunteer interest meeting right after our gathering. So the last Monday night of every month, right when it ends, we're going to say, hey, we're going to be in that room right there. If you're interested in being a part of this team, man, this is the starting point. And it's a very clear on ramp. All right, here's the commitment, here's the expectations, regardless of where you're serving. So it makes it
Yeah.
very easy to where if you're a team leader leading one of those teams and somebody's interested, you can boom, point them right there, last Monday in the month. If you're having a conversation with somebody on a Sunday morning in the church lobby that's interested in serving, boom, last Monday in the month. So it's very clear to point people to the last Monday of the month. And it's maybe a 30-minute just overall who we are, what we're about, the different areas to serve in, kind of highlights of everything, but then very clear commitments and expectations.
Yeah.
Very clear commitment and expectations. And then so the encouraging and retaining piece come from that on-ramp elevating. That if you're coming on to volunteer or serve, you're starting out volunteering and serving, and then maybe you're now gaining more responsibility, more authority because you're doing the thing and it's awesome. So now you're not being on a team, now you're on a team and leading a team, or a deacon, as we would say. But now you're overseeing and helping shepherd five of our deacons. So now you're more of an elder type role, to where there's different levels to these on-ramps. So how I encourage them is always pointing to the, hey man, we want you to be bought in. Well, here's the mission, here's the vision. I don't want you to stay stagnant in what you think of as a serving role, like a church stereotype serving role. Hey, be a greeter at a door, high five somebody once a month, and that's your 30 minutes of serving. But be creative, like take somebody camping on the weekend, right? Like, man, be creative with how you're leading and how you're shepherding. And I think it's my job to be the one to just put wind in the sails, dump gasoline on the fire, right? Hey, what you're passionate about, what God has called you to do, it's my job to be creative, to find a way for you to fulfill that passion and desire. So we're seeing the fruit of that, like people being encouraged and retained because they're not staying stagnant in a once a month stack chairs and move couch stereotypical type of route, but they're being trusted with, but also taught and discipled to have more authority, more responsibility, and not dropping the ball on our end to find creative ways for them to gain more responsibility.
That's awesome. Yeah, and it's awesome that you even speak on the idea of discipleship with it, because it's not just getting them to volunteer. It sounds like it's also you're getting them bought into the vision, but then on top of that, you're growing them, or they're growing in their walk, and you're helping assist in that. So it's not a I'm pouring everything out for the ministry, but they're actually growing through it. And that's just an awesome way to see that and kind of put that into the system. That's great. So I know a lot of times I've heard the thing fake it till you make it when it comes to ministry. And sometimes there are so many people that you can meet them and they have like they exude confidence and you're just like, man, how is it to be that perfect? And I feel like sometimes even the most perfect people, we have those moments that we learn from, but it's good to kind of know that, hey, I'm fallible. I've messed up. I've done something stupid. I plugged in a volunteer and that volunteer wasn't ready. I held off on, correcting someone and then that problem just snowballed. Can you give me an instance of where there was something that maybe you should have handled it in a different way or some type of slip up in some way that you're like, hey, this is what I've learned from it and this is how I've grown from
Yeah, I've done all those things you mentioned. I put in
it?
a volunteer way too early than where they in a capacity that they were not mature enough yet. There's situations that I should have stepped in earlier, situations I stepped in too soon, man, across the board. I've done it all. A couple of them being, because I'm the optimist, I'm like, hey, if you want to serve, let's start tomorrow. Like, let's go. Let's, man, the mission, the vision, let's blow it up. Let's do the thing. So 9 out of 10 times I will have to reel myself back in. Because if not, it's going to damage the person and the other people they're serving and leading. Whether if it's because the same principles throughout all these different examples. Somebody, hey, you go plan the event. Hey, go do the thing. You have an idea to do a pickleball meetup or a pickleball event for our young adults, man. Let's go. Let's do a pickleball thing. What do you need? You need paddles, you need stuff like that. But then the dude doesn't show up on time. It's like, ah, dang it, Or whether if it's small groups, man, I've done it with small group leaders and young adults in youth ministry. I worked in youth ministry. Man, it's like, hey, you want to be a small group leader? I'm like, man, awesome. Let's go. I want you to be a small group leader. Let's do the thing. Here's the curriculum. Here's the guide. Let's go. And then they're saying a cuss word in a small group. You know, it's like maybe too soon. Maybe too soon, man. So everything you've done, I've done it all. And the one piece that I have found, the one aspect of that I found peace with, is just owning that and being authentic with it. Like I'll tell my leaders all the time, like the cafe, going back to the cafe team, for example, I'm giving them a shout out every week. Hey, you guys are doing a way better job I ever would, right? Like with that humility, but also across the board, like we have people on our prayer team that, man, God has given them the gift to pray, and they're praying for people, praying for things. They're all about prayer. I'm like, man, me too, but you guys are taking it to another level. You guys are doing it way better than I ever would. And I think where the danger I found myself in is when I don't humble myself and realize that. When I think, hey, I'm the only one who can do it. I can do it best. Me and my Cheetos and my 2 liter Dr. Pepper is the best way to ever do something. Or this idea to do a pickleball event is the best way to ever do it. Man, that is extinguish flames with water instead of ignited it with gasoline.
That's a great comp.
So just about everything you think of that is hindering, I've definitely done. I know I'm only 25. I like to say, kind of like a new car with just a lot of miles. Been in ministry
There you
for
go. Yeah.
life, and I've done it all. I've done it all. But the way I find peace with it is just realizing that, but then leverage it, leverage that humility and authenticity, not in a manipulative way, but in a way to
Yeah.
empower other people. Like, hey, man, this person, man, you're better at preaching than I am. I preach on Monday nights, but I see one of our young communicators who's growing up, and he has a desire to preach. I'm like, hey, let me show you how to prep a sermon, and you go do the thing.
Yeah.
To realize that and to kind of take myself out of the equation. And really harness this team of volunteers.
Yeah.
And that happens, man. The ministry is growing, which is cool.
And you're empowering them, and you're even to the degree that you're willing to not only help train, but then step aside a bit and give them kind of that platform and stuff. And I mean, you don't even know maybe what God is doing in those moments with those people. I mean, the next pastors and preachers that you're allowing to kind of raise up and step into that, but you're kind of breathing life into that passion. That's really awesome, man. All right, so let's take it from the perspective of there's someone that is rebuilding a ministry culture, and they've got no volunteers, a bunch of not well volunteers, or maybe it's someone stepping in and they are building a team from scratch. What are a couple of key things, if you could give like one or two key pieces of advice to that person, what would it be?
Yeah, commit. You commit to it. Commit to it. Write down whatever the mission is, whether if it's youth ministry, young adult ministry, whatever ministry you're in, and that mission and vision that you are fulfilling, that God has called you to do, commit to that. Whether if you have one volunteer or 1,000 volunteers, just have that vision in the back of your brain and don't sacrifice it. If you're in youth ministry and there's a specific vision that God has called you to youth or young adults, lock that in the back vault of your brain, commit to that, and don't sacrifice that if you have 2 volunteers or 200 volunteers, or get overly arrogant if you have 200 volunteers. So commit, man, just by consistency committing. When you get rejected and the volunteer doesn't show up, keep showing up, keep staying committed. So I say commit, but then have clear structures, have clear structural things behind the scenes. Like it should be very simple for somebody to come to you and say, hey, I love what you guys are doing. How do I volunteer? And if it takes you more than 10 seconds to explain that, you've lost them. At least from what I found, like there's like windows almost. Like when people want to engage in something, they see the mission. Maybe they see a testimony night and they see the fruit of it, or they see a cool moment at a retreat and they're like, hey, this is awesome. I went in, and they come to you and like, hey, how do I serve here? Man, it should be very 1, 2, 3, boom, 1, 2, 3, boom, 1, 2, 3. And that comes from you behind the scenes, having your ducks in the row of just systems and processes. Very clear on ramps, but also very clear off ramps. I found that giving clarity around a stopping and starting period gets people engaged more. Like when I'm going to in our volunteer interest meeting that I mentioned, the last Monday of the month. One of those things is, hey, you're agreeing to a minimum of 4 months. So here, just to test it out, put the foot in the water, dip the toe in the water before you still swim. Here's the on-ramp, is here's the commitment, the expectations, the level of accountability we're gonna hold you to. But also here's the off-ramp. After 4 months, let's reevaluate. Man, how'd it go? Did you like it? Did you have fun? Did you find joy in it? You did? Okay, let's keep going. Let's gain more responsibility. Or you didn't? Dude, that's okay. Let your yes be yes, your no be no. And it is okay. So to have very clear on ramps and off ramps, and if somebody you are engaging with, whether if it's a volunteer or leader, sees that and it's like, oh, okay, maybe there is a way I can just dip my toe in the water. And I don't have to be the pastor of a group from the moment I show up, right? Then it gives them like a moment to relax. And we take those same principles with small group sessions, small group leaders. There's very clear on ramps, very clear off ramps. So I'll say clarity and commitment, having clarity behind the scenes of structural things. I love the illustration of the vine and the trellis, like grapevines needing a wooden trellis to grow on. And if there's no wooden structure for the fruit to grow on, the fruit stays on the ground and gets trampled on. Or if there's so much structure, then it overcompasses the fruit. You need this beautiful balance of structure to then give strength for the fruit to grow on, if you will. But to clarify that, clarity and commitment, man. If you can clarify your stuff behind the scenes and then commit to your vision, don't sacrifice it. Man, I could say this all day long. I see too many times people sacrificing their vision for something because of a lack of volunteers. Like you're doing some type of event and you're like, man, 100 people are gonna show up. We have all these volunteers and we're gonna have these people at the altar, these people greeting, these people connecting, so forth. Then seven people show up. And now this big event that you had in mind or big gathering you had in mind turns into, all right, hey guys, let's just all circle up our chairs. And instead of me preaching like I was supposed to, we're just gonna give a little devo. And instead of our volunteers that were gonna be here to pray, they're just gonna now say hey to people. Don't sacrifice the moment, man. Preach like what I love the phrase, do for one what you would do for many. So one volunteer, man, lead that volunteer as if you have 100. If you have one student showing up, man, lead that student as if there's 100 people. Preach the lights out of a room. Do a worship set the man, worship the lights out of the room, man. Lead the do it all. Do for one as if you would do for many, is what I would say there.
That's great. And I love what you were saying just about that easy on ramp. It's not like they gotta wait, 6 months until the next volunteer thing, and then you've lost all their passion, or you slap them with like a 40-page pamphlet thing, and they gotta go through, okay, where do I line up? What do I gotta do? That's awesome that you make it that easy on ramp. But as you said before, it's a discipleship process, and it's building them deeper and getting them more committed as well. So that's really, really awesome. What is a volunteer that you work with that you'll say, whether it's within the church itself or within your ministry, what's the longest volunteer you've had?
So with our, when I was in youth ministry, we had a couple, a husband and wife. They were with me all the way when I was in fifth grade doing with our preteens, all the way up till I switched to do young adults. And that was about a 4-year run, and they're with me all the way. They were awesome. And then with our young adult ministry, the moment we started, these two older couples, man, they are our mom and dad of the group, if you will, man, and they're awesome. The Taylors, and they've been with us January 2022 all the way to today, and they're still with us. And
That's
hopefully, Lord
awesome.
willing, will continue to be with us. Like they are what you, if you want every checklist to check the box off, and a volunteer and a leader and a shepherd and a disciple maker, man, they are it. And they're 62 years old, 61 and 62, I believe, or 60, 61. And
Wow, that's awesome.
leading, and they're serving 18 to 25 year olds. So there is a 35, 40 year old age gap, whatever that math is, but they relate so well. They shepherd so well, they disciple so well. And they're also bought in. They're like, dude, I'm showing up. I'm going above and beyond in so many ways. So they are what comes to mind when you ask that question.
It sounds like you have a really good idea of what health is, and that it's more than just numbers, and it's more than just getting people to show up. But you're pouring into people, you're discipling people, and giving them opportunities just to not only grow in their walk, but grow others in their walk, which is just amazing. So one more time, what was the name of the church that you work at?
Deal Creek Church of Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking this time and just sharing your heart for not only the ministry, but for your volunteer team as well. And thank you for what you've done with them and what you're going to continue to do in their lives in building a healthy volunteer team. Nice meeting you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you for this opportunity.